We will be soon welcoming in Gwen Moore, U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. And we will be taking your calls for her, another one of our ongoing series of congressional forums. We have been inviting all of our U.S. representatives to join us to talk with you about what they're working on before Congress and to talk with you about the issues that are important to you. So call in with your questions for Gwen Moore at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will take your calls for Gwen Moore in just a moment. And we will be talking with Representative Moore about the hike in the federal minimum wage, which goes into effect today. Gwen Moore is the U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, this is a glorious day.
It's beautiful. It really is a beautiful day here, too. What do you want to say about the federal minimum wage going up today?
It's a glorious day. Mm-hmm. It's a great day for all Americans. I know that in our wisdom in Wisconsin, we already raised the minimum wage prior to today. But I think that this initiative will create an upwards pressure on all wages so that by the time the law is fully implemented in 2009 to reach $7.25 an hour, folk who are already making $7.25, of course, will see an increase. And this will mean that over 124,000 Wisconsin workers will directly benefit from this pay raise. This is an amazing feat when you consider that the last increase in the minimum wage occurred in 1994. And so I attribute this increase in the minimum wage as a direct impact of the Democrats taking over the House.
Yeah, but the only way that this made it through, Representative Moore, was putting it in. Didn't it have to be kind of pushed into an Iraq funding bill or something?
Exactly. I mean, and this is how legislation is made. I think people have said if you like sausage, you shouldn't watch it being made. We've had a tremendous ordeal getting the president to sign legislation regarding Iraq, and the one that he signed really had no teeth in it from my perspective, but it did have this provision regarding the minimum wage in it. The only way we could get him to sign it, he has, at the behest of the business community, not increase the minimum wage, and there's a tremendous amount of evidence that an increase in the minimum wage does not have an adverse impact on business. I think that it's just their job to decry the evils of increasing basic subsistence level to right. people. A pay raise of $2.10 an hour means an awful lot to a family. It means an additional $4,400 a year. I mean, that's over a year's worth of groceries, 2 years of health care, 19 months of utilities, which means a lot in a place like Wisconsin, or 20 months of child care. It's not a little amount of money.
Mm-hmm. We heard from some of the Democratic presidential candidates last night calling for an even higher federal minimum wage, or more like a living wage of $10 an hour or more. Is that what you would like to see?
Well, what I'd like to see and what we can get through are two different things. As you indicated earlier, Joy, we had to do some political athletics to get this increase in the minimum wage by wedding it to a spending measure on Iraq. And so I think that I would not hold out that kind of promise to people in Wisconsin. I want to celebrate this increase. And a living wage we'd have to examine it in terms of whether or not it reaches that break-even point. Mm-hmm. For actually diminishing the numbers of jobs that are available to people.
We are talking with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore, representing Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District, which covers most of the Milwaukee area. She's talking with us today about the federal minimum wage going up today for the first time in 10 years, jumping 70 cents from $5.85 an hour. It's the first of three 70-cent increases that will hike the minimum wage to $7.25 an hour by the summer of 2009. We're talking about the federal minimum wage hike and whatever else you want to talk about. We'll ask Representative Moore other issues that she's working on in Congress and welcome your questions for her. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn will talk with a guest analyst about last night's YouTube presidential debate. And then after 10 o'clock, she will welcome in the author of Feingold, A New Democratic Party, a biography on Russ Feingold, coming up after 10 o'clock. We talked with Russ Feingold earlier this morning in our 6 o'clock hour, and he told us why he's going to introduce two resolutions calling for the censure of President Bush and Vice President Cheney. The censure is the condemnation of the two. And I'm wondering, Representative Moore, if you just have a reaction to that. Do you support or oppose Russ Feingold's effort to censure the president and the vice president?
Well, I can tell you, Joy, that Russ Feingold is an amazing leader for our state. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge him for being the first one out of the gate regarding the absolutely, I would say, criminal behavior of this administration. I have weighed in on this issue in the past, and I thought that a censure was something that was a slap on the hand. It really had no force of law. You know, that if we were going to do anything, that we should do some oversight and do some investigations to try to determine what, in fact, were the failures of this administration, either deliberately or indeliberately. It is too late, I think, to do an impeachment. If this were his first term, that would be something that I think would be a serious thing that we could consider. I think that work that Feingold has done has really opened the door for our doing tremendous numbers of investigations. And, you know, a censure resolution in the Senate is not really needed to prove to the American people that we've lost confidence in the president. Considering his overwhelming failure and almost complete lack of success, I think that historians will label him as one of the worst presidents of all time. And if that's his goal, to just get the record straight, I think the record is already straight.
Yeah. Well, the House did again pass a bill calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq by next spring, but it didn't work out that way in the Senate. Are we? Is Congress done with this issue for the time being now?
Oh, we absolutely are not done. It. You know, anyone who's a parent, Joy, knows what it's like to deal with extremely stubborn children. We have a really stubborn president. I was looking through the New York Times earlier this morning, and there's a classified plan, actually, which has just been disclosed by the New York Times, which indicates that the commanders in Iraq are preparing to stay there for two more years, despite the debate and conversation here in Congress. Clearly the administration has directed the commanders on the ground to prepare to stay for two more years.
Now let's get Chet and Sharon on the air. Hi, Chet, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, and good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Chet.
Thank you for your efforts to raise the minimum wage.
It was a delightful, empowering feeling to be able to do it.
Well, I'm all for empowering, and here's my comment. I'm following the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan quite closely. I missed your last comment, but do you know how many men and women died in Afghanistan yesterday? And do you see the Congress's constitutional role as part of its role is to stop an imperial presidency from waging war?
Well, Chet, you know, that's a great question, because it is what really is being debated on Capitol Hill. There are numbers of measures that are in the works now to try to authorize the war, to try to determine and figure out what our role is. I mean, the president has decided that our only role is to just give him the money, and that he's the commander-in-chief and he gets to call the shots. I think to the extent that members of Congress voted to authorize the war, I don't know. You know how you get on your computer and there's the undo button and sometimes it just is not highlighted. We're having a very hard time. There's no undo button here, apparently. And we are trying to find our way to get that done. Quite frankly, Chad, I'm going to be honest. We are having some trouble with more moderate Democrats, more conservative Democrats, to create the political will to do things like decertify the war. And these are folks that helped us win in the 2006 cycle. And some of them perceive that their job is to be more conservative than folk like me. So I think that with all of the things that we're doing, we've had rallies, we're continuing to put legislation up. Nancy Pelosi, of course, has one of the most liberal districts in America, and she's on the side of progressives to try to end this war. And I think we're continuing to build the political will within our own party and reaching out across the aisle. We had one member of Congress, a Republican, that I had a conversation with the other day, that got a lot of really sort of hate mail because she, in fact, voted with the Democrats to bring the troops home. So we're building the political will. Yeah. Chet, I think long-term what's going to happen is that a group of Republicans are going to quietly march down to Pennsylvania Avenue and say, look, Mr. President, we don't want to embarrass you in public with a vote. You've got to yield to the will of the American people. We're up for re-election. You're not. You don't seem to care about listening to folk, but we do, and we don't want to go public on you, but the votes are there to deauthorize this war.
Yeah. What about what? Speaking of elections and Nancy Pelosi, I see that Cindy Sheehan got in some trouble on Capitol Hill yesterday, disorderly conduct for not leaving someone's office. But she says she's going to run against Nancy Pelosi because Nancy Pelosi won't put impeachment back on the table. What do you think?
Well, I think Cindy Sheehan is certainly somebody that I respect a great deal. I respect her so much for using her individual personal power to try to make a difference in the world. Nancy Pelosi, the risk of being the leader is that you have to try to build a consensus. You can't just vote your district, your conscience. I told you, Nancy Pelosi has the most liberal district in America. And certainly they want Bush impeached. They wanted him impeached from day one. They Nancy Pelosi has the task of trying to pull together this coalition of Democrats and get them on the same page. It may seem to be an enviable job, but it is not. Were Cindy Sheehan able to prevail over Nancy Pelosi, she certainly wouldn't be the Speaker of the House. She'd be one member, and she'd be free to vote any way she wanted, but it would not pull together the consensus that we need to ultimately end this.
Yes. Susan in Hudson is our next caller. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Susan?
Susan's not there.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where Susan is. She, I don't know, maybe I can rephrase her question. I think there is going to be an effort to put on the state of Wisconsin ballot a referendum question calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Would something like that make any difference? Would that send a message to Congress or anybody else that if states started doing that, if Wisconsin would do that?
You know what? I'm a child of the 60s, and so I believe in political action and marching and protesting. I think that that is really our job, to create the political will. It's not just a matter of your representative, for example, Nancy Pelosi, mm-hmm. voting one way or the other. It's not a matter of my, making speeches on the floor of the House. It's a matter of building the political consensus to get things done. I think that that is what happened. For example, the best example I could think of is the ports deal, the Dubai ports deal, where we were going to turn over security of our ports to foreign powers, albeit a friendly country of Dubai. I think that there was a reaction, a wave that hit the American people that stopped it. And President Bush was just as resolved to pull that deal through as he was Iraq. Mm-hmm. I think that many of us have gotten so complacent since the 60s. I mean, we've gotten ourselves, two-car families and, that we've forgotten what it was like to struggle and struggle every day. So I certainly, I love it when my constituents send notice to me and other members of Congress that they want something done. I was so proud, never more proud than when I went to visit my alma mater at Marquette. 5,000 students presented me with petitions to get out of Darfur and wanted me personally to do more. So I went, the next couple of days after that and got arrested at the Sudanese embassy.
Congratulations.
I love political action on the part of citizens. That is my background and my experience.
Yeah, what do you want to see happen with Darfur and U.S. Involvement, if any, in Darfur?
Well, I can tell you, it's not just Darfur. Mm-hmm. It's other places, too, in the world. Zimbabwe is a powder keg. There are places in Eastern Europe, Belarus, where human rights and freedom is not assured. I think that the first thing that we've got to do is reestablish some moral authority in the world. That's why this next presidential election is so critical. Because when you travel, you will hear people say that it's not Americans that they dislike. It's this administration. And I think that before we can start talking about ending genocide, being part of a UN peacekeeping force that go in and secure the peace, we have got to reestablish our authority as honest brokers. Mm.
David in Ironwood, Michigan is with us now. Hi, David.
Yes. My issue is health care. I think Surgeon General should maybe write up a basic health care plan and then have all the insurance companies offer it and no turning people away and have them give the same price. Make it like milk.
Right. Well, I can tell you, when I look at the Declaration of Independence, and it says that people are guaranteed the Bill of Rights, people are entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's hard to imagine that the Founding Fathers didn't anticipate the need for universal health care. I can tell you, I'm sitting here now with the ugliest, dirtiest cast on my hand, and I broke it in Ukraine. One thing about it, though, I had free health care. I mean, this is a $1,500 injury at an emergency room, and it was free.
Because you're a congresswoman.
Not because I'm a congresswoman, because I was in a country that has universal health care.
Okay.
It's a former Soviet country, but it was universal health care. I think that, what we're doing is we're sending to the president the state CHIP program, Children's Health Insurance Program. We're adding here in the House an additional $50 billion to this package to try to cover most of the eligible children. Start pushing for universal health care by covering the children. The Senate has a less ambitious package, but we're looking at covering practically every child that's at the, in America. The president is threatening to veto this. I think that, you know, when people walk around and make this statement that there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans, my friend in Ironwood, Michigan, I think that you can see there's a huge difference in how Democrats feel about health care and how Republicans feel. He is vetoing it because he, you know, he doesn't want quote-unquote government in these children's lives. Well, these children are much more likely to break a limb than I was. And who has $1,500 to repair that? Mm-hmm. What a lot of people do with the kind of injury that I had is that they just let it go. And, you know, your finger heals eventually. And, you know, it increases your mobility. You know, either your finger won't move or it stays bent. And this is egregious. As it relates to the gentleman's suggestion for a specific plan, I think that that is up. You know, the devil, of course, is in the details. But I think we've got to get to the point that everybody is saying, yes, we need universal health care. And whether it's a single-payer plan, whether it's a plan that offers more choice, where we involve private insurers, but we cap the amount of profit that they can make, I think that those things are fully open for debate as far as I'm concerned. But what is not for debate is whether or not we cover everybody.
Thank you, David. And Scott in Escanaba. Now we have some UP listeners today. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. I just was wondering if your guest could give her take on, now that the Democrats control Congress, her opinion on the fact that Congress now has a lower approval rating than George Bush. What does she attribute that to?
Well, I tell you, Congress has a lower opinion rate than George W. Bush, except that everybody loves their member of Congress.
Right, right.
I can tell you that while Congress still has a lower rating, I was reading the Washington Post this morning, and there was an article saying that although we have a lower approval rating, the Washington Post polls today shows that 55% of Americans trust congressional Democrats on the war, compared with 32% who said that they trust Bush.
Yeah.
So even though, excuse me, I'm drinking a little water, that Congress has a lower approval rate than Bush overall, that on this issue of Iraq, which is the number one issue that Americans are pining on, mm-hmm. 55% of them approve of congressional Democrats. I think that bodes well going into the elections.
Yeah, so what is on your agenda for today? Sounds like you've got some sort of meeting going on there in the background.
Well, we're very busy. We're debating on the floor our appropriations bills. We're still trying to push toward passing the last of our appropriations bills on the floor. And so I'm in a room with other legislators that are talking to their members as well. I've been really, really very busy, and we just passed our education labor bill, and I was really, really pleased to have been part of a majority that cut the cost of student loans in half, that really worked on securing higher educational opportunities, not only for individual students, but really keeping us in the global game.
Yeah, with that, I'll have to let you get back to work as we are at the end of our hour
coming up. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay.
Gwen Moore, U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District, talking with us from Washington about what she's up to in Congress and answering your questions. We'll continue to invite other members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation to talk with you in the near future. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour and to Leo Duran for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.